peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Peace. What is peace? And more importantly, what is Jesus' peace? My peace, he says to us this day. He claims this peace. What is this peace that Jesus identifies himself with and gifts to us and blesses us with this day? A peace that he says that he gives to us in a way that the world does not give. Peace is something that we human beings understand in very physical terms. We are creatures of water and breath and dust, after all. And so we are vulnerable. We shed tears. We break bones. We bleed. So first and foremost, peace for us is about the absence of violence. Peace is the gift of awaking each day and knowing that we won't be beaten, or won't be shot at, or raped, or even murdered. Peace is the gift of knowing that our parents and our siblings and our children and our friends, they won't experience torment this day. They won't be tortured or suffer. Peace is first and foremost very physical. It is about the body. It is an incredibly physical experience for we human beings. But interestingly enough, we human beings have this tendency of projecting our peace away from our bodies onto constructs that are bigger than us. Just think about it for a moment. We project peace onto nation states. That country is at war, or that country is at peace. We project peace onto alliances. That's a peaceful alliance, so I don't know about that one. We project peace onto our societies as a whole. There's peacetime and there's wartime, we sometimes say. Or as Ecclesiastes puts it, a time for war and a time for peace. Peace can, in a sense, if we're not careful, become removed from us. It can become all too quickly an external construct. An external construct that we human beings have helped to make up to help understand peace in the first place. It's an odd phenomenon, but it's a phenomenon that Jesus knew all too well. He knew it because he lived it. He lived this externalization of peace. And that is because Jesus lived in a time that we now refer to as the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And this is what most biblical scholars would argue that Jesus is getting at, is driving at, when he tells us in his own words in John's Gospel this morning that the peace that he gives us is given in a way that the world does not give. Jesus' peace is different. Jesus' peace is more than the Pax Romana. Of course, it must be. It must be more. Because the peace of Rome we know now was a hollow peace. Looking back across time and space at the time that Jesus lived, we know that the Pax Romana was not all it was cut out to be. Yes, it's true that there was a time, and some would argue there's a time now, when nation states largely aren't going to war. During Jesus' lifetime, very few states went and armies marched across deserts and fought against each other, and warships sailed up seas and fought against each other. That largely doesn't happen now either. But it didn't happen then, and it arguably doesn't happen now, because at least then, one empire, the Roman Empire, had beaten everyone else into puny submission. That's what the Pax Romana was built upon. It was because Roman armies had marched through the ancient Near East, and Roman armies had marched through Europe. And they had beaten and burned and crucified and starved and enslaved the populations as they went, all for the glory of the Roman eagle. The peace of Rome was a peace built upon violence. It was a peace built upon the very thing that peace is supposed to reject and speak to. It was a peace built upon a fear. A fear that if so much as a hair was touched on the head of a Roman citizen, then the power of the Iron Eagle would come crushing down upon you. Never mind the millions of people that it came crushing down upon. Never mind the countless millions during the Roman Empire who were enslaved in their own lands, their bellies swelling for food as their resources were literally ripped from their fields and carted away to faraway Roman ports. Never mind the people across Europe and the ancient Near East who were routinely nailed hand and feet to makeshift trees if they even dared to step out of line with Caesar. Peace, true peace, the peace of God is so much deeper than that externalized Pax Romana. The ancient Hebrew understanding of peace, the understanding of peace that was so formative for Jesus and his followers, the understanding of shalom, it's so much deeper than that. Shalom, true shalom in ancient Hebrew thinking, is about the absence of physical violence, yes, but it's also about welcome, and it's about hospitality, and it's about righteousness, and it is about justice. Justice, mercy, and grace. Shalom, as a theological concept, was born out of the experience of Israel's captivity in Babylon. Born out of a time when Jesus' own Jewish ancestors experienced what it was like to be torn away from their homes and carted off in chains. When they experienced the externalization of peace, a Babylonian peace, the sharp end of the imperial stick. And out of that trauma, out of that traumatic experience of the exile, came prophetic calls. Prophetic calls from people who we know today as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Micah, the heart of the Hebrew Bible. Prophetic calls to begin to live life differently, to begin to live into a truer and deeper and more spiritual understanding of peace. In the words of the prophet, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Shalom, God's peace, the peace that today Jesus calls my peace, that he owns, his peace. Shalom is so much more than just the absence of violence. It is about acknowledging the inherent truth that each of us is blessed and each of us is loved, and there is room in this world for all of us. There is room in this world, as Reverend Jillian said to you last week in her sermon, for a diverse expression of our humanity in all of its God-given forms. There is room in this world for people who identify as male or female, Muslim or Jew, gay or straight, transgender or intersex, indigenous and settler, black and white, tall or short, big and small, young and old. There is room for all of us. This morning there is a rainbow crosswalk, a pride crosswalk, that is being painted in downtown Pembroke, just down the street on Pembroke Street, right here in the heart of the Ottawa Valley. A rainbow is being painted across the street. A Christian symbol, my friends. The rainbow, a reminder that God set in the sky for Noah to seal the covenant, to seal God's love once and for all. A rainbow, a symbol of that love, is being painted in the heart of our city. How about that? I think that's fabulous. When we see it in the coming days, may it be for us a reminder that we all belong in this world, and that we are all loved in this world. And yes, on this food bank Sunday, on this Rogation Sunday, that we all ought to be fed in this world. Because that, my friends, is shalom. That is the peace of Christ. the true realization of the human condition that God calls us to live into, a world where all of us belong, all of us are loved, and all of us are fed. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. May God grant us the grace as a church family to embrace Christ's sacred gift of shalom. Empower us, Lord, to live into it with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, with all our strength. Amen.